Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we are here for 5 cutting-edge strategies to balance your blood sugar and say bye-bye to belly fat, brain fog, and burnout. I am thrilled to be here tonight, and I am so excited by how popular this webinar has turned out to be. We have almost 4,000 people have registered for this. It really tells me that you guys are very interested in finding out how to balance your blood sugar and are concerned about some of the problems that it causes. So my purpose tonight is to share with you what I know about balancing blood sugar, the importance of balancing blood sugar, and how those nagging and annoying and sometimes much more serious symptoms that come from blood sugar imbalance can be gotten under control. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about. And if you haven't already watched the series of 5 videos that led up to this, we'll be reviewing a little bit of what's in there. But after the call, you may want to go back in and watch those because that'll give us you a different perspective. People are pouring into the call right now. The numbers are going up and up and up, and it's so exciting to see you all here, to see names I recognize, a bunch of you, and some names that are new to me. So thank you for taking the time out of your busy life. I know that there are plenty of things that you could be doing tonight, and you've chosen to honor yourself and make a commitment to learning some information that you can put into place that can really completely change your way of looking at yourself. So I want to begin with a disclaimer. And I want to make sure that you understand that I'm going to be sharing a lot of great information with you tonight. And it's not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. If you are under the care of a doctor and you're really excited by some of the things that you learned tonight and you're ready to run with it and fly with it, then I'd say make sure that you run it by your doctor, especially if you're on any medication, in particular blood sugar lowering medications and blood pressure lowering medications, because putting into place the things we're going to talk about tonight can actually change your requirements for those. And the only person that is qualified to help you to change those doses would be the professional. So you need to just keep your doctor informed if that's the case for you. So that out of the way, let's go ahead and begin. You came here tonight for a reason, and maybe your reason is not the same as someone else's reason on the call tonight, but it obviously shows the fact that you're taking time out of your busy life to be here, that you're dedicated to your health, that you're dedicated to improving your health, and you've shown it by showing up. And I want to honor that by giving you the best information that I possibly can. For some of you, well, most of these things apply to a lot of us, right? We really want certain things for ourselves. And maybe some of these things that I've listed are not in your life right now, and you want more of it. And just to let you know, there are slides that go along with this, and you can see it if you're on, not the phone line, but you have to be on the web to see it. And that's the link that you were sent probably a gazillion times in various reminders. So if you want to watch that, you click slides and it shows you the set of slides on your screen. So why are you here? Maybe you want energy for the important things in life. Maybe you're tired of going through the motions and not being able to have energy left over for the things that are really important to you, that really juice you. Maybe you want a body to be proud of. Who doesn't want a body to be proud of? Maybe it's just a little extra belly fat. Maybe you have quite a number of pounds to get rid of. We all want a body that we can be proud of and also that works really well for us. You want steady emotions, right? It's not fun to have your emotions up all over the place like a roller coaster. And I hear that so much when I talk to people about their health. They can't stand it. One minute they're feeling great, the next minute they're down, they're irritable, cranky, anxious, depressed, and then they're happy. What's up with that? Steady emotions are something to strive for. A clear, sharp focus is another thing I hear all the time. Brain fog is a huge problem and a huge concern for so many people that are in my community. And brain fog, meaning like you're not able to focus. You're not able to remember things. Like, why you came into the room. And somebody put it on the message board. I was reading through the questions earlier before the call, that she's so concerned about her memory and her brain because she went to visit a cousin who brought her to somebody or a friend or whatever. And when she went back there, she didn't even remember meeting the friend the last time. That's how her brain is. And that happens with our really stressed out lifestyle. I'll talk about that. I'll address that and some things that you can do to help get that back. And of course, we all, goes without saying, want comfort in our bodies. Lack of pain, but more that comfort that comes with a body that functions well. Joy, the joy of living in a body that works for you and a life that you love. And then success, prosperity, and making a difference in the world. I know I attract people in my environment that long to make a difference in the world. Because that's where I'm coming from. It's like we want the world to be a better place. And sometimes when you're just so tired and burned out and foggy, it's hard to really commit to that. So you're here because some of these things drew you here. Maybe you're just curious and maybe you had nothing better to do. But I suspect it's more related to you having a really deep reason. So let me give you a little bit of a review of what we're going to cover tonight. Well, we're going to go through the common underlying cause of most people's belly fat, brain fog, and burnout. Now, not everybody has the same underlying causes, so I want to get that out in the open, and I'm really a big fan of helping you to personalize the approach that you take. But most belly fat, brain fog, and burnout does have an underlying root cause, and there are dangers associated with that, and I want to share that with you. So belly fat, brain fog, and burnout are three of the B's that I talk about. You know I talk about the four B's. Belly fat, brain fog, and burnout. And the fourth B is how blood sugar imbalance creates havoc. Blood sugar imbalance is at the heart of the other symptoms, and I'll share with you how that works. I also want to share, of course, I don't want to just share with you the problem. You already know the problem. And yes, it's nice to understand it more deeply and to really get a feel for how your body works. But on the other hand, having some strategies that are going to turn it around are going to be really important. And I just want to tell you that you can follow what I'm going to teach tonight and get results in 30 days. If you follow everything that I'd share with you tonight, you can get results in 30 days. Most people, for most people, there may be some other underlying thing, but you will get some results and see some changes in 30 days by following this. I've seen very few people who have actually followed it. Now, the question is, putting it into action, is it that easy to follow? Yeah, well, old habits die hard. For some people, they jump right in and 30 days later, they've dropped 25 pounds and lost 9 inches around their waist and increased their energy. And for others, they're still struggling with putting it into place. I'm not making anybody right or wrong. There is no right or wrong. For some, it takes longer to actually make those changes and make them stick. And I'm going to share with you how you can put this all into action and get support if that's what you need. So before we do that, I just want to share a little bit about who I am and why I care so much about belly fat, brain fog, and burnout. It sounds like just like a cliche kind of line. Oh yeah, belly fat, brain fog, and burnout. Is that really important? Well, it's kind of unsightly. It's kind of annoying, but is it really serious? Like, come on, people are suffering from heart disease and cancer and autoimmune disease. Why am I spending so much time on belly fat, brain fog, and burnout? And I will go through and share with you how important these symptoms really are and how they're just the tip of the iceberg. I alluded to that. I shared some of that on one of the videos. I think it was the second video that talked about the dangers that lurk around your midline. And we'll go into that. And I really, really want to explore. But why am I so dedicated to this? Well, I am thrilled that I experience this amazing health and energy. And I can serve just like soar through even the most challenging of times and still have lots of energy. And it wasn't always like that for me. People say to me, oh, you're so lucky, or oh, you must have good genes. And the truth of the matter is I'm neither lucky nor have good genes. I've recently tested my genes and found out they're not so hot. However, luck is really not what it's about. It's a matter of persistence and knowing what to do and being so dedicated to feeling the way I feel that I'll do anything. I'll eat cardboard if that's what I needed to do. Unfortunately, I don't have to. I can eat lots of yummy foods, and I'll share with you some of those today. But I wasn't always like that. I struggled. I went through the brain fog, and I had the caffeine addiction and sugar addiction, and I didn't realize I was tired because I was always wired. You know that feeling, right? You don't really realize you're tired because you're wired on caffeine and sugar all day. Well, that was me, and in my 20s, I crashed. And I feel so blessed and so fortunate that I crashed in my 20s, that I didn't kind of go downhill slowly and just kind of live the life and then really crash and burn hard in my 40s or 50s. And now I could say in my mid-50s, I feel better than I felt back then. I have more energy, I have more mental clarity, and I have more focus. And I want to share that. I made a commitment when I figured out how to turn this around for myself. I made a commitment that I was going to dedicate my life to this. And I left my job. I left my job, which I was making extremely good money as a computer professional back in the day when computer professionals made really good money. And I left it because I wanted to become a doctor. I wanted to learn everything I could about health, natural healing, alternatives, nutrition, herbs, and be able to share that. And I'm happy to say that that's what I'm doing today. And I feel very blessed to be there. When I figured out that medicine couldn't help me, I had a myriad of problems ranging from brain fog and food allergy type things, like today I feel good, tomorrow I don't. What the heck did I eat? What the heck did I do? And the stomach burning and sinus problems and all this. And when medicine had nothing to offer me that but a drug for something that I didn't have, they offered me ulcer medication after telling me I didn't have an ulcer. I decided, nah, I want to find something else. And I started to look into nutrition. And to make a long story short, I learned how to heal myself. I went away and did a cleanse. I was monitored. I was helped to do that. And then I dedicated my life. I went back to school, and here I am today. I have lost family members. My sister died in her 40s of lymphoma. She could have been spared had she known about these things that I'm going to share with you. My parents both died very young of heart attacks. My mother at age 56, my father at age 62. I have family members who are obese. I have family members who are on hypertension medication. And I don't want that for myself. And I don't want it for them either. But they have to make their choice. And I'm so happy that you made the choice to be here to learn as much as you can so that you can make better choices. So that's in a nutshell why it is. And I'll share a little bit more about my own insulin resistance story once I introduce you to that concept, because I have some very personal stuff to share there. The fourth B, right? We said belly fat, brain fog, and burnout were the three B's, the symptoms that you're noticing. Blood sugar imbalance may or may not be something you notice. Some people do. Some people feel like they're woozy and irritable and cranky. If they miss a meal, they attribute it to blood sugar. Other people are going about, they have no idea that the problem is related to blood sugar. So I'm going to really give you details about blood sugar imbalances and how your blood sugar management should work and how it works when it gets out of balance, and how something called insulin resistance, which I've alluded to before, I've talked about before, is actually a silent killer. And we'll talk about that and what causes insulin resistance. And then symptoms of blood sugar imbalance. Like, how do you know if you have a blood sugar imbalance? How do you know? And then we'll look at blood sugar imbalance as a spectrum of conditions. It's not like you go from normal to diabetic just like that. You've passed through stages. And my goal is to teach you how to understand when you're at the earlier stages so that you don't have to make it all the way to diabetes before you're able to do something about it. And some of you may already be at diabetes, and I'll share with you what that spectrum is so you can kind of get a sense of where you might be on the spectrum. I just attended a lecture today by a very prominent functional medicine MD, one of my mentors, and he was talking about how, yeah, and we know how to detect diabetes 20 to 30 years before it actually starts by the stuff that I'm going to share with you tonight. So I want to also, then I'll tie it all together to how the blood sugar imbalance keeps your belly fat, your brain foggy, your body so exhausted that you don't even have the energy to excel in your career and enjoy your life. You don't have the energy to play on the floor with your kids or your grandchildren. You just kind of watch them from the couch. And I want to change that. And I want to share with you what you can do to take back control. And like I said, you can put into place everything I talk about tonight. So what I'm encouraging you to do right now is to grab a piece of paper and a pen and jot down some things. And when I get to something that I think is uber important, I'm going to say, make sure you write this down. Now, everything I say is uber important, but there's certain things that I want you to take note of and really listen. And if you have questions as we're going through, jot them down. And then pay attention to the rest of the talk because I may answer that question as we go through. And if at the end of the talk that question isn't answered, then go ahead and type it in on the question area. So let's talk about normal blood sugar cycle, right? We eat every day, correct? We maintain our blood sugar every day. So what does that look like? What is that? How does that feel? So generally, we get hungry and we eat. So it all starts with you eating. When you eat, the food gets digested, absorbed, and your blood sugar rises. Natural way of eating. Even if you've eaten something that doesn't contain overt sugar, everything can break down into carbohydrates, which can break down into sugar. And then as a result, your pancreas detects that and secretes a hormone called insulin. And insulin's job is to escort the glucose into your cells. The glucose can't get into your cells without insulin. It needs the insulin as a carrier. At that point, once the insulin gets in, carries the glucose into your cells, then your cells can turn that into energy. And your blood sugar goes down. You feel good because you've just eaten a meal. It's provided you with energy. Your mitochondria produce ATP, and voila, hunger goes away. Wow. There's a whole lot more to it than that, but for now, that's good enough. And then, you know, several hours later, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours later, sometimes longer, depending on how much you ate, you get hungry, and then you eat again. That's the normal cycle. That's not the cycle that most of the people that I see in practice are dealing with. What happens is when this gets out of balance is that, well, same thing you eat, and then the blood sugar rises, and the pancreas secretes insulin. But if you've been eating in a way that causes your body to need a lot of insulin, you've been eating things with sugars and starches and fruit juices and candies and cookies and pies and things like that, or even if you've been eating healthier things that raise blood sugar, you've been secreting a lot of insulin over time, and after a while your cells become resistant to it. So the glucose remains high, and as a result, the pancreas says, sugar's still in the blood. Secrete more insulin. So your pancreas secretes more insulin, and it's still not getting into the cells. So what happens is that triggers a response. The insulin triggers a response that causes your liver to secrete some hormones that cause the excess sugar to be stored as fat. Also, all that extra insulin, we think, you know what, no big deal, I'm thin, I can do this. No. Because the excess insulin in your system damages your blood vessels, makes them thick and inelastic and much more prone to having problems related to hypertension, which is high blood pressure, and heart disease. Also can create inflammation in those blood vessels, which cause plaque to stick there, may cause a heart attack, or inflammation that can predispose you to cancer. And on top of that, you stored all that excess sugar as fat, so it didn't provide fuel for your body. It didn't provide energy for your body, and you're hungry again, generally right after a meal. Your stomach may feel full, but your brain is telling you eat more. Why? Because you didn't get the nutrients and the calories or the energy into your cells. You just stored it as fat. And then you eat again. Too soon. And it's a vicious cycle, and it gets worse and worse and worse the more you entertain it. Like I said earlier, though, you'll say, well, it's a little extra fat. What's the big deal? I'm brain fogged. I'll live with it. I'm not energetic. I'll live with it. But what are some of those other things that cause, that insulin resistance causes? Well, it can cause a deficiency of thyroid hormone. And thyroid affects your metabolic rate. Clue, write this down. What are the connections between low energy and burnout? And blood sugar imbalance is the effect it has on the thyroid. It causes deficiency of thyroid hormone. Growth hormone. Growth hormone is a fat-burning hormone. Growth hormone helps you to get rid of the extra calories you've taken in and also burn fat in your body. So what we need to do is to be doing things to help the growth hormone. And we'll talk about some of those today. But growth hormone deficiency causes you to gain a lot of extra weight and to not be able to store muscle. So if you're the type that likes to go to the gym and work out, but you're finding out that you're not actually storing muscle, you may be having a problem with growth hormone. The other thing that insulin resistance can cause is an increased cancer risk. It causes inflammation. It causes an increase in cytokines, which are inflammatory chemicals, and C-reactive protein. And this is serious. It can cause high blood pressure because it thickens the vessels. It can cause injury to the blood vessel linings. It can cause inflammation throughout your entire body, and in particular around what's called your viscera, your organs in your gut. And here's a kicker. It also increases the risk of Alzheimer's. Lots of people are saying that, and lots of researchers are finding that Alzheimer's is actually insulin resistance in the brain. And for those of you who don't know what Alzheimer's is, it's a dementia that generally happens in later in life, but we're finding it's starting to happen earlier in life, and they're starting to call it type 3 diabetes because it's related to insulin resistance in the brain. Also causes low energy in all your organs and glands. So it's not just your body and your muscles and all that that's low in energy. It's your glands and your organs that are low in energy. And finally, the one serious consequence of insulin resistance is diabetes. You may or may not get diabetes, but if you've got insulin resistance, even early stages of it, you're still going to have the dangers of all those other things and some of the consequences of diabetes. Like we see diabetics get to the point where they have what's called peripheral neuropathies and they can't feel their feet. Well, the changes to the microvasculature that cause that happen whenever your blood sugar goes above 120. Same thing for the retinal changes in the eyes. Diabetics oftentimes lose their sight because their retinas get damaged. So every time that goes up above 120, 140, you get these changes. So you may not get diabetes per se or be diagnosed with diabetes, but you may have a lot of the consequences, the negative side effects of having diabetes. So it's a serious issue. And I'm going to give you a plan tonight that you can follow for 30 days to help to start to reverse the insulin resistance. And in some cases, when it's not that severe, completely reverse it. It's a matter of being persistent. So you might be thinking, well, what causes all this, right? Well, there is a genetic factor related to it. There are genes that predispose people to imbalance in blood sugar. And the genes affect a good percentage of the population. So let's just say we have 100 people. Of that 100 people, 25 of them are going to have to be super, super careful because they're very prone to getting diabetes. And if they don't put the stuff in place that I'm talking about tonight, they most likely will develop serious insulin resistance or diabetes. On the other end of the spectrum, there's about 25 of them who it'd be really hard-pressed to cause insulin resistance in them, mainly because they're not genetically wired for it and they can abuse themselves. Everybody talks about George Burns, a comedian who died over the recent years, and he was 100 years old and he smoked and he drank and, you know, he ate junk and he lived to be 100 years old, right? That's not the case for everyone, but he probably had this, he didn't have the gene that predisposes him to insulin resistance. And in the middle, that 50% in the middle, those 50 people, could go either way depending on how they treat themselves. And so what are the other factors that contribute? Well, nutrition. You can have the gene for diabetes, but have perfectly sound nutrition and all the other factors we'll talk about, and not get it, not even come close. So there's certain nutrients. We'll talk a little bit more about those in a bit. We go through those in detail in Before Be Gone, but like B vitamins and essential fatty acids like DHA and magnesium and chromium and boron and vanadium. And there's all sorts of nutrients that are affected. But more so than that, it's the quality of the diet. It's what you're eating. Are you eating a lot of processed foods or flour products? It's amazing. I talk to people who are thinking they're on a really healthy diet because they're eating all gluten-free, and they're eating gluten-free bread and gluten-free pasta and gluten-free this and gluten-free that, and they're eating dried fruits and they're eating fruit juices, and they're eating certain things that are creating problems in their system, that are creating a need for more insulin, and their nutrients just don't keep up with it. But also things like caffeine and alcohol, they can have an effect as well. So what else? Stress. Stress is a major cause of insulin resistance. When you get stressed, you release a hormone called cortisol. Cortisol causes your blood sugar to go up because it's preparing you to run away from hungry tigers. So your cortisol level, your blood sugar levels go up even though you didn't eat anything, which requires insulin to bring them back down. So over time, if you're getting stressed all the time, you're going to create insulin resistance from all that extra insulin in your system. Lack of exercise. Trained muscle, healthy muscle tissue can pick up the insulin much better. It doesn't become resistant. You might have all your body that's resistant to insulin, but your muscles aren't because you've trained them. So it's really important to have trained muscle. And when you don't, then those muscles become insulin resistant too. And poor sleep. This was a shocker to me. I knew sleep was important, and I, you know, talked a lot about the value of it, but it wasn't until I started really digging and when I realized that I had a problem with insulin resistance, which shocked me. So poor sleep, I discovered that even one night of poor sleep can cause insulin resistance in an otherwise healthy person. So if you have a poor night of sleep, the next day, your body, your cells are not going to be able to take the signal from insulin. You become insulin resistant. Now, if it's just one night out of normally good, healthy sleep pattern, you're good. You won't be having the problem, and it'll go away when you get back on your sleep cycle. But if you do it consistently, you're in trouble. And for me, you know, I was going through this program when I first started teaching my Before Be Gone program. I started testing my own blood sugar, and I helped lots of patients do their own blood sugar, but I really wasn't doing my own because I figured I didn't have a problem. I ate a beautiful whole foods, high green diet, gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free. How could I have a problem? I was master of my heart math technique, which I'll share a little bit about in a bit. I was exercising all the time, but I wasn't sleeping enough. So I discovered that on days that I would get a good night's sleep, I could handle more fruit and without making my blood sugar go up. But on days that I didn't, I suffered and I couldn't eat fruit because my blood sugar would go really high. One of the things that I teach and I'm so committed to is helping people to really get in touch with what their body's doing with the food. And I just think it's so valuable to get yourself a blood sugar meter. You can pick one up for $10 at Walgreens if you're in the U.S. and probably more expensive in other countries, but they're very available, very inexpensive. We use one called True2Go, the number two. Look it up on Amazon. You can get it there. You can get it at Walgreens. And we buy the strips on Amazon, and they're very inexpensive. And I teach people how to get in touch with their food. Because people think, oh, can I eat this and can I eat that? I mean, certain foods I don't want you to eat, like pure sugar and processed foods, but other foods you might be able to eat and I may not be able to eat. So it's very freeing to test your blood sugar and determine rather than go on an overly restrictive diet. So how do you know? How do you know if you have insulin resistance? Is that something that you just know? Is it something that there's specific symptoms? Well, we've talked about some of the symptoms, right? Belly fat. When you get extra belly fat, especially if you happen to be a thin person and you have this roll of fat around your waist, chances are good that there's some insulin resistance going on there. All right? And low energy. Low energy. Well, that could be caused by a lot of things. It could be caused by cancer. It could be caused by adrenal burnout. It could be caused by an autoimmune disease. But especially when you have low energy after a meal. In the middle of the afternoon, you just plop. You know, your head drops on your table and you just can't deal with it. So low energy after a meal, hungry even after eating a full meal, especially if you crave sugar or something sweet at the end of a meal. Good sign that you may have insulin resistance brewing. That mid-afternoon slump that I mentioned, difficulty focusing or brain fog. I used to have brain fog so bad that when I was sitting across and somebody was speaking, it was as if there was a cloud between us. And I had the hardest time focusing on what they were saying and being able to process it. And remembering, why did I walk into that room? Why did I go in that room with my keys? Was I going somewhere? Where did I put my keys anyway? And now I'm spewing out biochemical pathways and all kinds of stuff. I read, I research, and I remember things. And I speak with clarity. But I had really difficult time focusing. And the other thing that most of you experience and think about in terms of insulin resistance is when you're cranky and irritable if a meal is missed. Do not go far away from food. I have people who say they have to eat every hour or they feel cranky and irritable. That's not right. That's not normal. Is that something they need to do for themselves in the short term? Yes. These diets that say eat every 2 hours, they are not helping solve the problem, but they certainly help you get through the immediate problem, which is passing out in between meals and not being able to work. So these are some of the symptoms. And if you're experiencing any of these, we're going to be sending out a quiz. We do this in our program, and I think we'll send it out to everybody who signed up for this as a bonus. Is a little quiz that you can fill out. It's an insulin resistance quiz, just to see where your numbers are and if this is something you're experiencing. So let's talk about this spectrum, because people say to me, and there was a question on the web already that said, well, what causes me to be foggy in my brain? Is it low blood sugar or is it high blood sugar? And my answer is, it can be either. So the whole blood sugar imbalance thing starts out when you start to produce too much insulin. And you produce too much insulin in response to the food you're eating, because the foods you're eating require a lot of insulin. And then it goes into something called reactive hypoglycemia, because you're secreting too much insulin, which causes your blood sugar to just get sucked in really quickly and your blood sugar goes down. Remember, this is an early stage. So you secrete too much insulin and then your body reacts by utilizing all that insulin to clear the blood, but it overclears the blood and now you have low blood sugar. So hypoglycemia is low blood sugar. Hyperinsulinemia, hyper is the word for excess, and insulin, and emia means in the blood. So it means too much insulin in the blood. Too much insulin in the blood leads you to be reactive hypoglycemic, and that's low blood sugar. And over time, that develops into insulin resistance, because all that extra insulin that's bathing your tissues, they say enough. I don't want to be damaged by all this insulin. And I just stick in an aside, the one place where you don't get resistant to the insulin is in your blood vessels, and they get damaged by the extra insulin, so they can't protect themselves by becoming insulin resistant. The next stage after insulin resistance is metabolic syndrome. So metabolic syndrome is when your blood sugar is high, not quite to the diabetic range, but you're also starting to see other problems like hypertension, which is high blood pressure, and maybe some cardiac things, high cholesterol, high LDLs, low HDLs, high triglycerides. That's a hallmark of metabolic syndrome. And then finally, you pass the border into diabetes. Now, medicine has very specific measures and values that tell you when you've crossed from one to the other. But it's really not that way. It's just if you're in the stage, you're just gradually moving there. Like, okay, so your fasting blood sugar is 119. That means you're not diabetic, you're pre-diabetic. And then as soon as it becomes 120, you're diabetic. You mean to tell me that all the changes that are happening when you're diabetic were not happening when you were 1 point below that? I mean, we don't even have measurements that are accurate enough to be able to say that from one time to the next, 1 point difference means anything. So it's really a matter of if you're anywhere on this spectrum, you need to take action. That's my opinion. And I took action when I discovered that I ate a piece of pineapple and my blood sugar shot up to 165 or 167. Then I had a problem. The normal fasting blood sugars in the 70s and 80s. The normal after meal blood sugar is in the 90s and low 100s, like 110 at the highest for somebody that's really in good shape. Mine went up to 167. I have a problem. However, medicine would never have detected that problem. Why? Because my fasting blood sugar in the morning is 82. And people say to me, well, why do you worry about it? It only went up for a little while and then came down. Well, it was up, it was elevated for almost 2 hours. And in that whole time it was elevated, my vasculature, my blood vessels and nerves in my feet and hands were being damaged. That's what happens in diabetes. That's what happens when your blood sugar goes above 120. And my retinas were being damaged. Hopefully, I've not been there enough to have caused permanent damage, but I don't want to do that anymore. I want to take control. And that's what I want to open your eyes about so you can take control as well. So how does all this work? Well, you have a good sense now of how your blood sugar should be working and what happens when it goes awry, what the consequences of that are, right? Write that down if you need to. High blood sugar over time, high insulin over time damages my blood vessels, makes me more subject to cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's. So let's talk about how insulin triggers belly fat. Well, when your body secretes insulin and the cells are resistant, the blood sugar is high, the insulin then triggers storage of fat. And the main repository of that white adipose tissue that insulin triggers the storage of is around your belly. In addition to it being the subcutaneous fat, which means right underneath the skin, it's also packed around your organs. Somebody described it like, it's a stress. You're under stress, so pack the fat around your organs so if a tiger bites you in the belly, you won't get hurt too bad. Well, I don't know if that's the reason. It's kind of a cute story, but insulin triggers belly fat, as does stress, cortisol. So what is brain fog? Well, I told you a little bit about what brain fog is. It's that feeling that you just can't focus, that somebody's talking to you and you have to have them repeated and you're having a hard time following, or if you're in class or in a meeting and it's just like words, 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 and it's not going anywhere. How's that related to blood sugar? Well, there's two major mechanisms. One is that when you're in a hyperinsulin state, too much insulin, and you're insulin resistant, all the food that you're eating that's supposed to be fuel to go to your brain, it doesn't get into the system. It doesn't get in. So it sits in the bloodstream. And so meanwhile, you've just eaten a meal and there's no fuel, right? So you feel foggy. And the other thing is there is actually some indication of various parts of the brain that are more sensitive to it. Parts of the brain can actually pick up the blood sugar without insulin, fortunately, or else you'd just completely go bonkers when your blood sugar goes down or is up and you can't get it in. But many parts of the brain, in particular a part called the hippocampus, which is short-term memory, and that's why Alzheimer's is considered a type 3 diabetes. It's an insulin resistance of your brain. And so when you can't get the fuel to your brain, you're going to feel foggy. And like I said before, it could be either that your blood sugar is so low that there's not enough fuel to your brain, or that your blood sugar is real high, but you're insulin resistant and it's not getting in. So either way, wherever you are on the spectrum, it's still going to affect your brain. And that's why brain fog is such a common problem. It could also be related to adrenal fatigue, but that's the subject for another talk. And then burnout, fatigue, and decreased energy production naturally follows blood sugar imbalance, right? You just don't have the energy. How can you have energy? How can you go, play tennis in the afternoon if your lunch didn't get digested, it just got stored as fat? You just feel sluggish. You just want a nap. So that's in a nutshell view of it. In my Before Become program, we go into a lot more details about that. We have a lot of videos and audios and things like that. But I want to share with you now, I've shared with you the mechanisms, you understand it. And the key to really doing something about something is understanding. So if you're understanding how this is affecting your body, you're saying, okay, tell me what to do. How can I fix this? So there's five key steps that I think help to restore balance. And each of these steps involves several different lifestyle change areas. So the very first one is, I put first, is to increase your insulin sensitivity. And the reason I put that one first is because this can help you to do the rest. And what I mean by increasing insulin sensitivity is when you've secreted so much insulin over time and your body has been overutilizing and overusing, then you wear out the nutrients that your body needs for the insulin receptors to be sensitive. And some of those are things like chromium and magnesium and omega-3 fats and B vitamins and vanadium and boron. There's a whole bunch of them. So what I usually like to start with is increasing your insulin sensitivity by starting with some of the nutrients and just supplying those as supplementals and also focusing on eating foods that are high in them. So usually where I start people are three nutrients. Write these down: chromium, magnesium, DHA. And I have a slide later. I'm going to give you exact amounts. So if you want to get started right after this call, you can get started. I'll give you the exact type of those nutrients and the exact amounts. And everybody may, you know, may vary. Your mileage may vary based on lots of other things, like how big you are, how overweight you are, how underweight you are, how old you are. I'll give you ranges. The next step is that you need to decrease your need for insulin. And I'll share with you my 30-day plan for doing that. But it's basically getting rid of the foods and the substances that require a lot of insulin to get into the cells. And those are generally carbohydrate-type foods, certain types of carbohydrate-type foods. The next step is to reduce inflammation. Right? Inflammation in your body, systemic inflammation in your body, can create damage to the insulin receptors, and they're not going to be sensitive. So we got to get inflammation under control. One of my favorite ways to get inflammation under control is to start. There's two things. One is getting rid of food allergens. And I'll share with you a slide of the most common food allergens that you can get started with right away, just to see if those are problematic for you. But the other thing is a more alkaline-forming diet, because an alkaline-forming diet is more anti-inflammatory. And then, in general, certain foods are more inflammatory and certain foods are more anti-inflammatory. So, for example, things like ginger and turmeric are herbs that are extremely anti-inflammatory and help you to reduce it. Vitamin C-rich foods help you to reduce inflammation. Things that cause inflammation are things that damage cell membranes, like fats, certain types of fats, cooked and heated fats, damage it, oxidized fats, trans fats. The fourth step is to optimize your fat burning and lean muscle mass building. And that's a little bit more complicated, and we'll take a little bit of time on that tonight. I go through a lot of detail of that in my program, but you basically want to optimize hormones, the hormones in charge of fat burning and lean muscle mass building. And the kind of steps and activities you can do for that are specific types of exercise, which I'll share with you what that is, and also specific timing of how you eat your meals that helps to optimize those hormones and optimize fat burning and lean mass building. And finally, this is my favorite one. You want to minimize the impact of the candy bar eating effects of stress. Now, what the heck does that mean? Well, when you're stressed, your body produces a hormone called cortisol, which causes you to increase your blood sugar as if you just ate a candy bar. And you don't get the fun of eating the candy bar. So it's the candy bar eating effects of stress. So those are the five key areas, the five key steps that will help you to restore your balance. And they all fall into five key lifestyle areas. And I'll go into the details of each of these. Movement, nutrition, stress, sleep, and timing. And timing I'll spend a little bit more time on because it's so critical and people overlook it. They think, well, I'm exercising and I'm eating well and I've got meditating and I'm doing yoga and I sleep 8 hours a night, so why are things off? It could be as simple as timing. I'll just share with you a quick story. I had one person who listened to a seminar just like you're listening to tonight. She got the basics, she understood the basics, and she left. And she didn't have time to start changing her diet. She was in the process of moving to a new city, but she remembered what I said about the timing. And she started to do that and whatever other little things she could do. But the main focus she had was on the timing. She spread her meals out. She stopped eating before bedtime. And she started eating a breakfast within an hour of getting up. And you know what? Within 2 months, she had lost 22 pounds. Then she came and joined the Before Be Gone program because she wanted the support. She wanted to know more. She wanted to really put the other things into place. And she ended up dropping 75 pounds, getting off all her medications. So, and this is not a young woman. This is somebody in her 60s. So it's never too late. So let's go through each of these five areas and just let me give you a few tips in each of these areas. So here's where, pull out your paper and just make a note. And when I say something that feels to you like, that's a good one for me to start with, do it. Pick a few things that are good for you to start with. Don't overwhelm yourself by trying to do everything all at once. So that's why I lay this out over a 30-day program, and I actually offer a 2-month program, but a 30-day period where we're intense about it, because it takes time to implement these. So because, like I said before, trained muscle uses more glucose and uses it more efficiently than untrained, we're going to look at movement, magical movements. I like to use the word magic. It's nothing's magic. There's no such thing as a free lunch, right? But magical because it just seems to work so quickly, even when other stuff wasn't. So it's the quality versus the quantity. You don't have to exercise for 3 hours a day. You don't have to go to the gym for 2 hours and then run for an hour. You don't have to. You can get away with 10 to 20 minutes a day of exercise and make huge difference if you do the right kind of exercise. So you want to do movements that increase lean muscle building. So I'm going to share with you one tip that you can get started with. And I talked about it in one of my videos. I'm going to reiterate it here in case you haven't done it. It's called burst movement, burst exercise. And it's basically a series of 30-second all-out, just move as fast as you can. Depending on what part of your body you can move. You can use a Stairmaster. You can jog in place. You can do jumping jacks. You can run. You can hike up a steep hill. You can some other things. Run up and down stairs. 30 seconds, get your heart rate up, get yourself so you're panting, and that triggers fat burning and lean muscle mass. Now, check with your doctor if you have a heart condition. This may not be the way to go, but you can also get these little exercise bikes for the arms. Like it's like pedals, and you use those. You put it on your tabletop, and you use those. Movement, when you do that, you actually stimulate growth hormone, which is your lean body builder and your fat burner. So you stimulate growth hormone and you stimulate it for an hour and a half after a 30-second burst. Is that efficiency or what? Now, don't tell me you can't find 30 seconds a day to exercise. And then if you do that like 4 to 8 times a day, and what is that, guys? That's about 4 minutes a day of exercise. Who can't get 4 minutes in? That's going to stimulate it even more. So you're going to get your hormones balanced, right? So these are things that you can do. I want you to rev up your metabolic engine using your fork. There's certain foods that trigger fat storage and leave you exhausted. Those are generally foods that contain sugars and flour and refined carbohydrates, high sugar foods that cause your body to stimulate a high amount of insulin and then cause that to trigger fat storage and then leave you exhausted, right? You're sitting in a lump at the end of the meal because you just ate all these calories that are just sitting on your butt or your belly, most likely your belly. Then there's foods that jumpstart fat burning and skyrocket your energy. And amongst those are greens, green leafy vegetables, sea vegetables loaded with minerals. They are really good at stoking your fat burning. Good fats, high quality fats, coconut, rev up your fat burning. And then exciting to your taste buds. It doesn't just have to be about eating carrot sticks and celery. I've got a 250-page book of blood sugar balancing recipes that are phenomenally delicious. And I have beautiful pictures that I will share. I should have put them in here. I have these beautiful pictures that one of my patients or clients did when she was going through this. And she took pictures of her food through the way, and it was like, oh my God, that's gorgeous. It's delicious. So food. We'll talk a lot more about food in a bit when I give you the specifics of the 30 days. Stressing out, like I said, leads to extra belly fat because of the candy bar eating effects of cortisol. So how can you... Oh, let me just tell you how stress makes your thigh muscles turn into belly fat. This is interesting. Somebody said, I keep that analogy and it's been helping me to this day turn down the candy bars. When you, not turn down the candy bars, stay de-stressed. When you get stressed, cortisol, like I said, likes to raise your blood sugar. But it does a process, I'll give you a real big technical word, gluconeogenesis. And gluconeogenesis favors muscle protein. Breakdown protein. So if you've just eaten a meal and there's a lot of protein in your bloodstream, it'll use that and it'll turn that into sugar. It'll actually turn your protein into sugar. But if you haven't just eaten and you don't have protein in your bloodstream to spare, it'll turn your thigh muscles into belly fat because the cortisol will then release the thigh muscles to make sugar. And then when it doesn't get used, it gets stored back as belly fat. So there's a few simple things that you can do. So for example, if you get stressed out at your desk and you're sitting there brewing over something, get up and move. And then there's some really and really easy activity that you can also do that has to do with breathing and appreciation. I am a big fan of meditation and yoga, but it takes a lot of time. And I hear this all the time from people. I just don't have the time for that. I need something I can do quickly. So I've started to do something called heart math, and I do a little activity I call a mini vacation, where you just take anywhere from 30 seconds to 2 minutes multiple times a day to close your eyes, to find something to appreciate, to go somewhere that you love. I go to the beach, and just really, really allow yourself to change this stress response, to decrease the cortisol back down to normal. And stop turning your thigh muscles into belly fat. So, sleep. I alluded to sleep being important, and it's so important. And I have an hour-long presentation that goes into the details of how all the hormones interact during the night. But there are some amazing hormones that come out and play while you're sleeping and do some good stuff if you take care of them, if you create the environment where they can work. And that means getting to bed early enough, before midnight, by 11 o'clock hopefully, getting a good stretch of 7 to 9 hours of sleep, and allowing growth hormone to spike. Growth hormone spikes like 4 or 5 times while you sleep. Usually within an hour of waking up, of going to sleep, is the biggest spike. And when growth hormone spikes, you're burning fat and you're storing lean and you're repairing your body. Leptin has a peak around bedtime, and it actually starts the blood burn, the sugar burning in the middle of the night. So leptin and growth hormone. So you need to keep those hormones running well. One of the worst things you can do that's going to throw growth hormone and leptin out of balance is eating right before you go to bed. So if you want to get a good night's sleep, try stopping eating at least 3 hours before bed. That's one thing. There's a whole bunch of other things you can do. I have a whole page on that. But even one bad night of bad sleep can affect this. So don't give in to the fact that I'm just hungry. I need to have that. Or, oh, that looks so good. Everybody else is eating popcorn. It's best if you don't. So there's a dance with these hormones. And it can just, if they're not in harmony while you sleep, these hormones, then you're not going into fat burning. You're not going into repair. You're going to wake up exhausted. So, and then reshaping your body by the clock. It's not just what you eat, it's when you eat. It's not just how you exercise, it's when you exercise. So it's really important to eat by the clock, have certain rhythms. So for example, like I said, don't eat within 3 hours of bedtime. Learn to space your meals a little bit more. That can take time, but the eating before bedtime is I would start with that one. Okay? There are a lot of popular eating programs that say, eat every 2 hours. You know what happens when you eat every 2 hours? Insulin is in your bloodstream all day long. What do we say insulin does? Burn fat or store fat? Insulin stores fat. So if you're eating every 2 hours, you have insulin in your system all day long. You can't burn fat. You absolutely can't burn fat. And then if you're eating right before you go to bed, you don't get your growth hormone spike. You don't burn fat then. So you may be one of these people who's saying, well, I'm eating all this great food. I'm not even eating that many calories, but I just can't drop this weight. It could be the timing of your meals. It's a myth that you need small, frequent meals. It doesn't work with the biochemistry. Now, there may be situations where you need to until you get the underlying chemistry fixed. But there's concept of intermittent fasting. And someone asked that, what I thought about that. She said, oh, I like to get up and I don't have my first meal until, 10, and then I have my last meal at 6, so I have a long period without eating. That is awesome and has been found to accelerate fat burning. And the whole thing with growth hormone, I just want to reiterate, growth hormone and insulin cannot be peaking at the same time. So if you are eating every 2 hours, you don't get your growth hormone spikes or in between. You don't get your growth hormone to come out and help you with fat burning. You also don't get the leptin activated. So it's really important, the timing. And I have a whole bunch of timing rules. So I'm going to give you in a nutshell, the 30-day metabolic reset. I call it a metabolic reset. Why? Because we're resetting your metabolism. We're going to switch you into fat burning mode. We're going to fix you, put you into lean storage mode, into great blood chemistry, brain chemistry, blood sugar. So the first thing I would recommend that you do, like I said earlier, is get yourself a blood sugar, blood glucose meter. They're not that expensive. They're very inexpensive, actually, and it's a great tool. And then take the nutrients to restore insulin sensitivity, the main ones being the chromium, magnesium, and DHA. And I have a slide a little bit later. I'll share with you at the end with the exact amounts, and you can jot those down. Walking and burst exercise to burn fat and increase lean. So if you can get in the mode of walking, even if it's just 2 10-minute light walkings a day and then burst training every other day, 30 seconds, 4 to 8 times, that's going to incredibly increase your fat burning and your insulin sensitivity. A nutrient-dense, anti-inflammatory diet with alkalizing foods that don't require insulin to metabolize. And I'll talk in detail. I have a slide about the food so you know what to eat. Get to bed by 11 or earlier and get 7 to 9 hours sleep every night. And then do these transforming stress activities throughout the day. It could be as simple as the appreciation game, I call it. Every time you go and change your position, you find 3 things to appreciate. Every hour on the hour, you have a buzzer ring and you find things to appreciate. And you use your breathing. These are simple things that you can do. And if you follow this for 30 days, you will see changes. You will see changes. So let's talk about the 30-day metabolic reset diet. What does that look like? Lots of greens and non-starchy vegetables. Unlimited quantities of greens and non-starchy vegetables. They can be raw, they can be lightly steamed, they can be stir-fried, as long as they're stir-fried in either a water or a broth or an oil like coconut or olive oil that don't really get too damaged when they're heated. You stay away from oxidized, heated, and trans fats. I know a lot of you already do that, but when you take canola oil or safflower oil and put it in a pan and just even lightly stir-fry vegetables, you're damaging that fat, which then damages your body, creates inflammation, damages insulin receptors. Increase your DHA, which is an omega-3 fat. You can do that by eating algae, taking a supplement, or eating fish. And I've been vegetarian for 28 years. I've just been on vegetarian food, vegan foods. It works that way. And also I've had people go through the program who include some really carefully chosen animal products, and it works. Big fan of a plant-strong diet. Decrease omega-6 to 3 ratio. That's getting rid of the bad vegetable oils and making sure you have good omega-3s like chia seeds and flax seeds and hemp seeds and walnuts. Write these down. Avoiding sugar and processed foods and eating a low glycemic diet. What does that mean? Well, we obviously know that sugar is bad for this situation, sugar and processed foods. And then the low glycemic foods, when you get a blood sugar meter, you can figure out what's low glycemic for you. If you're not going to test your blood sugar, no problem. We'll have a list, of low glycemic foods you can follow, but it's just a guideline. You're going to improve your minerals by taking chromium, magnesium, and zinc. You're going to improve your B vitamin status by eating whole foods, fresh foods, lots of fresh foods, and possibly taking a supplement. And then avoiding all foods that raise your blood sugar above 110 or more than 25 points. So if you're starting out with testing your blood sugars, I tell people, keep it below 110. So that might mean that you're on a really strict diet for the first 30 days, but that it can do wonders for you. If you happen to already be diabetic and your blood sugars are higher, just don't let them go more than 25 points up. Removing the allergens is critical. Gluten-free, dairy, corn, soy, peanuts. You may not be allergic to all of these. You may just have a few of these, but get started by doing an elimination diet. And we incorporate that in the program. So let me give you a little quick summary of the eating behaviors for insulin resistance and insulin balance. And then I want to share a little bit about how you can get help with putting this into place. But you've got what you need. You have what you need. Number one, you shouldn't eat after dinner. You should only eat 3 meals a day. You should allow 4 to 6 hours between meals. Are you going to get there overnight? No. You're going to transition there. So just start by inching the last meal back a little bit, spacing the meals a little bit further, and allowing your body to adjust. Don't jump right into it because you might feel lightheaded. You might get heart palpitations. You've got to ease your body into it. When you eat, you make sure you eat to full, but don't overeat or undereat. Eat slowly and calmly. Practice breathing and appreciation before each meal. And eat a breakfast that contains protein. Does that mean I want you to go eat bacon and eggs for breakfast? No. Does that mean you have to have animal protein? No. If you choose to, then it should be organic and free range and pastured. But if you don't, you could still get lots of protein. Protein is contained in greens and in seeds. So a nice breakfast with a green juice, a green smoothie, chia seeds, hemp seeds, maybe some protein powder added to it is a great way to start the day. A not so great way to start the day is with a lot of fruit or toast or cereal, because when you eat carbs too early in the day, it creates havoc in your hormones the rest of the day. So that's a summary. What I'd like to do is share a little bit of the details about how I can help you through this and how I've helped quite a number of hundreds of people through this already, and then invite you to join us if you would like, if it calls to you. And if it's not, then you have enough to go on. And then I'm going to tell you that I've given you on the side panel, if you're on the call live, there's a link that you can click that's to a PDF file that summarizes the foods that help to support insulin sensitivity, the foods that hurt insulin sensitivity that you should avoid, and then the supplements and the doses. So that's my gift to you. That's my gift to you. So whether you join us or not. So let me just tell you a little bit about this. I'd encourage you to go to www.b4begone.com. That's the letter B, the number 4, the word B, B-E. G-O-N-E.com. You can also go on the left-hand side. There should be a link there that you can just click. And you can follow along. I'd encourage you to read. We go through a lot of the background. There's a very informative page. There's a video. Don't watch that now. You can turn that off. You can watch that later. And you find out more about what we're doing, what we're up to. It's basically a coaching program that I take you through a 30-day metabolic reset. So I talked about a 30-day metabolic reset. I will take you through that. I will guide you gently through that step by step. There's 5 weekly modules teaching you all the details about the components and giving you recipe guides and audios and videos and fitness videos. And it's all housed on a members-only website. There's simple implementation strategies, menus to follow. There's a 30-day menu plan. Like, really? If you just pick up the menu plan and follow it, you're part of the way there, a good part of the way there. You add a little bit of the exercise and stress and timing and sleep to that, and you're on your way. And then you get step-by-step support, guidance, and accountability. So the site will be loaded up with a new module every week with video guides and recipes and checklists and whatever you need. And then we have a weekly implementation call where I'll review how to use those materials and answer your questions, and you'll get on-the-spot coaching. I heard from somebody this afternoon who's done this before with me. This would be her 4th time, and she wanted to know, could she do it again? And I said, sure, of course she can do it again. That would be awesome. She said, because I just need the reminders. Sometimes you get back into life and you forget, and I just need the reminders. And she has been on every call, and she asks questions on every call, and she's had phenomenal results. And you can too. It's just a matter of participation. There's five modules. The first one is where we go into helping you to create the mindset for success. Take some measurements, get your blood glucose, and learn how to measure your blood glucose. I have videos and audios to help you do that. And then I get you started with the motion. The power of your fork, that's when you get your menu plan. That's when you get your 30-day menu plan and your 250-page recipe guide. And I teach you everything you need to know about the food. Harmonizing your head and your heart. I give you all sorts of tools because everybody's a little different. Some of the tools will work great for you. Some of the others may not work as well. So I have an emotional eating tool. I have a 30-day stress transformation tool. Then we have module 4, which is the hormones that dance in your sleep. And it's all sorts of resources to help you sleep better. And then finally, the timing is everything module, where you'll learn all the ins and outs of how to time things and why and how to keep your hormones balanced. I'm going to share with you just the details of these foods that fatten your belly, fog your mind, and fatigue your body. And then we'll talk about the ones that flatten your belly, defog your mind, and give you energy. And then I'm going to give you the list of the supplements. So the three top foods to avoid for at least 30 days to reset your insulin sensitivity and restore balance: sugar and all its relatives, and that includes maple syrup, agave honey, rice syrup, all the sweeteners, coconut syrup, etc. The ones that are fine would be stevia and erythritol and xylitol and Lohan. Those are the ones that are not going to spike your blood sugars. The flour products, really great. If you can get rid of those for a month, these are fattening your belly if you have an insulin resistance product. You may be able to get away with some of these later, but you during the 30 days, you just have to be a little bit more strict. It's worth it. And then the processed hydrogenated oils and heated fats, margarine, mayonnaise, cooking with polyunsaturates like corn oil and soybean oil. And olive oil and coconut are the only ones that low temperature heat are okay with. Foods that flatten your belly, focus your mind, and fight fatigue are leafy green vegetables. Eat a variety, the kales, the spinach, the arugula, collard greens, you name it, and sea vegetables. Another one, avocado. People don't realize, avocado, it's fat. We have to stay away from fat. No, you don't have to stay away from fat. You have to have good fats in your diet. And avocado has chemical in it that resets your insulin sensitivity. In the Before Be Gone program, we give you a whole list of 20 different foods and all the mechanism by which they work and how they work to restore insulin sensitivity. Chia seeds. Our breakfasts include this amazing chia porridges filled with omega-3s, protein, important minerals that balance your blood sugar. And because I like to give you a bonus, the fourth one is some herbs and spices, simple spices that you probably have in your spice rack. Start to add them freely to your foods for 30 days. Cinnamon, cardamom, coriander, and ginger. And finally, I just want to share with you some of the foods, some of the nutrients, the supplements that you can get started on right away. That will be that first step, remember, which is restore the insulin sensitivity. Chromium in the polynicotinate form. A lot of people ask, is chromium picolinate? Okay. Picolinate has been shown to not be as effective. And I've seen some studies that say in high doses for prolonged periods of time, there could be some issues. So I prefer polynicotinate. That's what all the studies were done with. 400 micrograms twice a day. Magnesium, you can choose citrate, glycinate, or natural calm. Anywhere from 400 to 800 milligrams per day. And you can tell by bowel tolerance. And then DHA, 350 to 500 milligrams a day, preferably algae oil based. Vanadyl sulfate, which is optional, 50 milligrams twice a day for only 4 weeks, because longer than that, it can affect your kidneys, but it's really good if you have persistent insulin resistance. But I would start with those top three, and then after a couple of weeks, then you can start the diet changes, the eliminates. I always like to add first, and that's the way Before is set up, is that we like to add things first before we have people start to take things away. Because it's easier to add, right? It's easier to add new foods. So thanks so much for being here. Take care. Have a great night. Bye-bye now.